and we'll get started. So first of all, we should maybe at the end of this year, if you could remind me, we'll take a moment to plan for the future. We have one more shiur left this semester with the Midrash HaNight.
Next Tuesday night, exactly
1 week from tonight. I want to look into being more consistent about every other week, which wouldn't line up with Midrash HaNight, but we'd see if it could work out anyways. Just because it's like, you know, it's two on, four off, two on, so we can get a flow. So hopefully we'll talk about if that's realistic for people here, and then if it's realistic for the school, we'll work it out. But just remind me to talk about that afterwards. And also, if people have suggestions for the topic next week, I'm going out of Bishul because it's already been like 8 weeks since we were in Bishul. It doesn't feel like we're in a series anymore. So if we want to, we can go back to that at the end. But for right now, we'll just do whatever seems interesting or relevant. So if you have an idea for next week, you'll let me know.
Did you cover Hatzalah?
We did not. No, we got introduction to Bishul. We didn't get much farther than that. Like we didn't really. We broke for 4 weeks, and then we came back for Hanukkah, which was Hanukkah Shirim, and then it says there's no flow, so we'll have to try again.
I feel like that's very practical.
It is. Right. So we can try to get on a schedule. We'll try to do it. Okay, the learning in our kolo. Yeah. Hi, welcome. There are sheets right over there you can grab. So our learning in the kolo throughout the month is sponsored by 5minutesoftorah.com, and the learning this week in particular is sponsored, and people should think about this for a moment. For Refuah Shlema for Shimon Ben Tzipor, it's sponsored by the Sepporta family. And I'm trying my hardest not to make jokes about thank you to the Sepportas for supporting the kolo. But we appreciate their help, assistance, whatever. But the Refuah Shlema for Shimon Ben Tzipor. Okay, so we want to talk tonight about making ice on Shabbos. That's the goal of the shiur tonight. The Makoros on the sheet, you'll notice in the very beginning, don't actually reflect that. If you look at the first one, two, three, four, even five sources on the sheet, you'll find nothing about making ice. What will you find? Quick peek. Melting ice, exactly. Melting ice. Now, that's a strange thing. Why would we talk about melting ice if the topic this year is making ice? The answer is actually found, and this is going to be the first and probably the last time you'll hear me quote Rabbi Nachman ben Breslov in a halacha shir for women, and potentially ever for anyone in any context. But Rabbi Nachman is famous for having said, and you can find this in songs and write-ups all over, Imata ma'amin she'efshar l'kalkel, ta'amin she'efshar l'taken. If you believe that you can break something, that also means you can fix it. That's a big empowering statement that Rabbi Nachman made, that if a person has the ability, the koach, the strength, the potential to be able to cause damage, that also means that the person has the ability to fix, to repair, to do tshuva for averus that they've done. So in our context, I'd like to, kidnap that phrase and use it for our halachic topic, which is basically, if we can find a way that it's mutter to melt ice, to break ice down, to change it from solid to liquid, well then maybe efshar l'sakein also, maybe the opposite is true as well, that if you're able to makalkel, if you're able to melt it and to destroy it, maybe it's also true that the reverse will be permissible, and if the opposite, the opposite. But Mrs. Loftus, we'll let you leave before we say if it's the opposite. Okay, so if you look at source number one, you'll find an interesting Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos is really the main source for these halachas entirely. This is where everyone would start from if they're given this year. I have extra pens also if you need. Oh, wow. Never mind. So the Gemara in Shabbos says as follows. Ein mirazkin lo es ha-shelig v'lo es ha-barad v'shabbos v'shvil she'yizovu meimav. Now, a couple words here that you guys won't recognize. Mirazkin is a very foreign word. Rashi explains, mirazkin is kimo miraskin with a samich. Miraskin means to break down or melt. So I don't know why it's with a zayin here. I'm not sure etymologically how that happened. But miraskin is a normal word. To be mirasik is to melt something down. The other word that I think most of you won't recognize is sheleg, right? But I know from experience, and you know, definitely the Goldbergs know, and even the Eliciouses should know from sheleg, snow. Sometimes you've seen snow. Barad means hail. So says the Gemara, ein miraskin, we'll read it that way, you can't melt sheleg, snow, or hail, whatever, you know, hard rain, frozen rain, but Shabbos b'shvil she'yizovu meimav. You can't melt that on Shabbos in order that it should flow out, in order that the water should be produced from that ice or from that snow. Why not? Why can't you melt ice or snow on Shabbos? Anyone have a suggestion why that would be?
Changing
the form. So what's that? Who cares? What's wrong with changing form? Cooking. Interesting. Cooking. Why? That's very interesting you say that. Very, very interesting. So I would have said to you yesterday, or even like at 4:48 this morning, I would have said you're crazy for saying that's cooking. How's that cooking? That's not fishel. But around that time this morning, I saw that some of the poskim do actually suggest that in a very creative way. Again, the suggestion was that maybe melting ice, or, you know, if we could talk about it more broadly, even creating ice from water is changing form, and that should be considered bishul. But bishul is usually with heat, and or we've seen it without heat, with ceviche, that type of thing, but it's usually changing in form in the cooking process. This seems a bit different, but some of the posts can do quote a Rambam, where the Rambam, he's really just quoting a Gemara, but the Gemara and the Rambam basically say that if you harden something that's soft, or if you soften something that's hard, that's considered bishul. The Gemara's example, I forget exactly, but I think it's in Ayin Dalam Bezim Sechas Shabbos. The Gemara talks about the process of building an oven. In order to build the oven, you take certain materials and you soften them or you harden them. And, you know, there's also cases of metal the Gemara talks about that you soften or harden with heat. So in those cases, the Gemara and the Rambam say you can be in violation of bishul by using heat in most cases. But you, in any event, the case of bishul is the fact you're mavashal by changing its form from hard to soft, soft to hard. So some of the poskim do say that maybe the issue of making or breaking ice would be dependent on that Rambam as well, and maybe it would be considered a form of bishul. It seems a bit novel, I mean, to say that it's actually bishul, but there are really those who suggest such a thing.
Does this also apply to, like, this new thing where it's like you freeze, like, something you put in the fridge and then you put in your drink, but it doesn't melt? It's like an ice pack for your drink. Do you know what I'm talking about?
It doesn't melt? What's dry ice? Is that dry ice?
No.
No.
Yeah, it's like an insulated cup that is ice all around.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know those.
It changes the texture of your drink.
Yeah, yeah, like it makes it slushy if you want, right? Yeah, those aren't new. I think I got one of those for one of my birthdays a long time ago. Is this meaning to put that in the fridge, the freezer to freeze it or something? I'm not sure you freeze those anyway. Oh, to put a drink into there.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah, so pay attention. Maybe it'll apply to that.
All ice melts, right?
Oh, very good. We got to get to that also. Very, very good. Very, very good point. Okay, so the Gemara in Shabbos here says it's not permissible. I forgot who said it already. Was it Allison or whoever said it before was creating something new. You suggested maybe it's bishul. Okay, that's creative. So if you look at Rashi in source number 2, you'll find something at least similar to one of the suggestions, not with the concept of bishul, but you'll find like this. Kadesh yizova meimav, so that the water should flow, so that you could produce water from the ice. That's the, you know, intent that the person has when they melt this ice or snow. Mishum dekamolid b'shabbos, because you're being molid b'shabbos. What does molid mean? Yeah, literally giving birth, but you're not giving birth here. You're birthing water from ice, meaning you're making water out of what was ice, what was snow. V'dami l'malacha, it's similar to a malacha. Shebore hamayim ha'elu, because you're creating water. So that is exactly what you said, but a lot of the chronim point out, when does Rashi really get to do that? Rashi's great. Love Rashi. No, not trying to attack Rashi. Rashi gets to make up, oh, it sounds similar to a malacha, so therefore it's prohibited? I don't know.
You also said that you have to have the intent.
Sure, the intent is important too, and we'll get to that hopefully in some applicable case in the future. But that's absolutely true. The Gemara says, Kadesh Yizovu.
If you're thirsty and you have no drinks, but yeah, you have ice,
yeah,
and you want to turn it to water.
That would be intending to make it into water, for sure. What if you just have ice sitting on a table and it happens to turn into water? So we have to talk about that distinction for sure. But does Rashi really get to just say that? Make up Dami L'Malacha? Yeah, it's similar to a Malacha. I don't know, like, why does he get to say such a thing? So some of the Achronim say that maybe what Rashi means is very simple. There is a malacha, one of the 39 malachas on Shabbos, there is a malacha of makeh b'patish. Makeh b'patish means you can't build, it's not building like bona. Bona is its own malacha of construction, but it's putting the finishing touches on a building act. Literally knocking in that final nail, that final blow of the hammer on any given project. So some of the Achronim suggest that maybe Rashi here means it's dami l'malacha, it's similar to malacha, meaning it's similar to a specific malacha. It's similar to the malacha of makeh b'patish, because you have ice, and all you needed to do was squeeze it in your hand and melt it in order to turn into water. That's makeh b'patish. That's creating anew the water. That's the final blow of the hammer, so to speak. Rashi probably means an iser derabanan. It's probably rabbinic. He doesn't mean it's a malacha on a deraisa level. You can't make that up, but that might be very well be what Rashi means. Others do suggest that Rashi is making up a new malacha entirely. Also midrabanan. But the same way that you have 39 malachos, each of them is a creative act, a malachas machsheves, right? Each act of malach is a creative act. So too, Rashi says, okay, so now I understand Torah, and I understand Shabbos, and I understand 39 malachos. I understand that this, I'm using this word very loosely, the spirit of the law of Shabbos is that it's usher to create on Shabbos. So it follows logically, if I can put all the pieces together, that when the Gemara says it's usher to create water out of ice, it's some sort of malacha. It might not be bona, it might not be soser, it might not be Orek Shnei Batei Nirin, it might not be even makeh b'patish, it might not fit into any of the 39, but it's some creative act on Shabbos of creating something new, that's going to be usher, forbidden on Shabbos, yeah.
But you're not allowed to ask the Torah.
Like, right. So 2 points to that. One, well, really 1 point to that, actually. You're absolutely not allowed to ask the Torah. Lo Sosif, Baal Tosif, you can't do such a thing, that's absolutely true. But Chazal and Rabbanim past Chazal were able to add Derabanans and Minhagim, Siyagim, Gezeros, right? They were able to add things that made sense. Rashi is not even adding here. He's saying the Gemara said this already. What did the Gemara mean when it said it's Aser to do this? So he's saying clearly the Gemara thought there was an Iser Derabanan, which is allowed. That's not an Iser of adding to the Torah. As long as they clarify that it's a Derabanan and they don't make it, you think that it's Daraisa, as long as they don't confuse you, that's not adding to the Torah. That's, I don't know, that's helping the Torah, that's guarding the Torah, that's Asu Mishmaris L'Mishmarti, which is the charge of the Rabbanan throughout the generations. So that wouldn't be an issue of Baal Tosef. Yeah, that's what Rashi suggests over here. Everyone quotes, if you look in source number 3, the Rashba quotes it, but really everyone quotes this Sefer HaTrum as famous, that it's not an issue necessarily of Molid. Now this is going to be a little bit difficult for us to wrap our heads around, but we'll try. It's not an issue of Molid, but it's an issue of Nolad. Now, those sound very similar, and they literally mean the same thing, just with different, I'm not good with these, how to classify different things in the English language, but one is active and one is passive, meaning molid means to create something new, nolad means something new was created. So Rashi told us, according to some of the Afkon, Rashi told us, you're being molid, so you're doing a malacha of makapatish, or some new malacha that's similar to malachos, whatever you want to classify it as, but you're being molid, you're creating actively. The Sefer HaTrumah is saying something different. He's saying, you may not be creating, but something was created on Shabbos. Who cares? So some of the Rishonim, the Ran, for example, explain that what the Truma means is exactly what you just said. That maybe you didn't do anything wrong by witnessing ice melt, or it was in your hand when it melted, or whatever it is. Maybe you didn't do anything wrong as an action, but you now cannot use that. Why? Because Nolad is Mukta. Nolad is not usable if it was created on Shabbos.
But doesn't it not apply to food?
Nolad?
Because what about salad dressing?
So that so it will exactly it'll depend on a bunch of factors. It's a whole other topic, but it'll depend on a bunch of factors. Just because something, I mean, if I spread cream cheese on a bagel, I didn't create something new, obviously. So there has to be some level of distinction between creating something new versus combining two things and eating them together.
There's no issue of psikra shalom
nichole. We'll get to a psikra shalom nichole. Yeah, it can be like that in certain cases. Yeah, definitely can. Correct. This Gemara is saying kadesh is over. You're doing it in order to use it. You're doing it in order to make water. What if it's just laying there? Let's talk about that soon, hopefully. So that's what the Ran suggests, that it's an issue of Muktzah. But it's true. Technically speaking, you didn't do anything. You didn't create anything. The Rush assumes that really the Sefer HaTrumah also means something like Rashi. That, no, the issue is that you're creating something. Okay, but the Sefer HaTrumah presents it a little more passively. The Rashi thinks that doing it bi'adayim actively with your hands is the Isser. And the Rush is saying the Sefer HaTrumah assumes that as long as it happens, it's your Isser of having created something new. So they're arguing in terms of the detail of how it's done, but they both agree that it's an issue of molid, of creating water out of ice. So we have Rashi on the one hand, that creating water from ice is an issue of molid, of creation, whatever that malacha might be. We discussed that for a little bit. And then we have the Sefer HaTrumah, who may mean nolad passively, that it's now muksa, or he may mean nolad passively, and therefore you did an isser of allowing it to be nolad. Yeah.
But can it also be planted for after Shabbos? Because ice takes
like... We'll get to that also, actually. Yeah, it won't be true in every case. I don't think... Again, I don't know the exact amount of time it takes. It also depends on your freezer, obviously. For sure, but you could put ice cubes in the overnight and it could be frozen in the morning. That's not crazy, right? So you could have plenty of cases where it takes place on Shabbos. But if it's going to be from Shabbos day after Shabbos, it's a different discussion.
Can you use ice that I made on Friday and use it Shabbos night?
Yes. Well, yes, but we'll have to talk about why. We'll have to talk about why in a second. We'll get to that. The Rashba you have here in source number 3 in the Chidushei HaRashba, the Ran really says the same thing. The truth is the Rambam says this in Hilchos Shabbos in Perek Chaf Aleph 21. So they all assume that this is an issue of something else. Could you think of another malacha that this sounds like? I'll say it in a specific way to hint it to, if you'd rather. Anyone think of another malacha that this sounds like?
The ice breaking.
Yeah, melting ice. Oh, very good. Yeah, the hint I was going to give you was squeezing ice so that it melts. Meaning there's another malacha on Shabbos that you can't do. You can't squeeze a lemon and make lemon juice. You can't squeeze grapes and make grape juice. So maybe ice is similar. There are differences. What were you going to say?
Squeezing one thing from
exactly. That's a major difference, right? This is an important point. Meaning, an orange or a or for another example, an orange. I think they're two different fruits. So if you squeeze it, there's juice, there's flesh, peel. Then there's flesh, and then there's juice inside. You're squeezing, you're extracting juice from the flesh. Yeah. So you have to talk about all the details there. Here, you're not taking water out of ice. You're just turning water ice into water. So it's not really the same thing, but maybe on a Derabanan level, you could hear why Chazal said it's similar. It's similar enough that ice is for water the same way oranges are for orange juice, grapes are for grape juice. And therefore, when you squeeze and you melt it, that would be a schita midrabanan. Schita is the Hebrew term for that malacha, a schita midrabanan. So you have three opinions in the Rishonim. What might be the issue with melting ice on Shabbos? What's the difference between all those reasons? So the post can point out, and you'll find this in Shulchan Aruch soon, the post can point out that according to Rashi, this whole issue of melting ice is only going to be a problem if you actively perform the melting. If you squeeze the ice in your hand and use the heat of your body to melt the ice, that will be an issue of malacha because you're creating actively. Even the Rashba and the Rambam, the Rashba points this out already, even they say that the issue is that you're squeezing something. You're actively doing it. But if it happens on its own, if it happens automatically, just by sitting on a tray or something like that and it melts, so that can't be an issue of melting ice that's in Isra on Shabbos because you didn't actively do it. But if you hold like that Sefer HaTrumah, right? If you hold like the Sefer HaTrumah, what was the issue with melting ice? No lud. Not really the fact that you actively did anything, but the fact that, again, either because of you or now you can't use it because it melted on its own passively, that's already its own issue, even if you didn't actively melt the ice. So according to the Sefer HaTrumah, there will be an issue letting ice melt, even if you weren't actively doing it yourself. That's a major difference, no? Because how many people, by a show of hands, have ever felt the need to melt ice in their hands on Shabbos? Right. How many people have ever experienced ice melting on Shabbos in multiple ways? You don't have to actually raise your hands. Everyone does, right? In your drink, in the ice bucket, in all the different places. So that's a major, major difference. So how do we paskin? How do we paskin? So look in source number four. You have a Shulchan Aruch in Shin Yud Ches Tes Zayin. The Shulchan Aruch here says, well, you know what? Actually, let's go backwards. Let's start with source number five, Shin Chaf Tes in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, our halacha, Shelig Baha Barad, again, snow and hail, ice, whatever. Ein maraskinos, and you can't melt them. Dehainu l'shabrim l'chatichos dakos. You can't break off in tiny pieces. Kedeshi yizova meimav, in order to make it flow. Aval nosinu l'socha kos, shel yayin omayim, huni moach me'ela ve'inocho sheish. What can you do? You can put it into a cup of water, a cup of wine, a cup of... do people do that? Do people drink wine with ice? Really? Not good wine, meaning a sweeter wine or something like that, maybe. But not, like, dry wine, no one puts ice in, right? Whatever. So let's say a person wants to put ice into wine. Sometimes, you know, the post can talk about one time you put ice into wine is if you're trying to, if you want to make kiddush, but you don't have enough wine, so you need to make it filled up more, either to fill more of the cup or to reach the amount of revius, whatever. So you don't have enough wine. So you're allowed to dilute it, or you can also use ice cube, which some guy a long time ago in a bathtub figured out that that also displaces water. I forgot his name, whatever. But so that could also help, you know, raise the level of the water, the wine in that case. So that's a helpful thing too. Okay, but the Shulchan Aruch says that's permissible if it's going to melt on its own. So too, if you have ice and you put it in a place that's near a heat source, that's near the sun, that's near a fire, something like that, and it melts on its own, that's going to be permissible. That's what the Ramah, the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch says, which means that Svardim, or ex-Svardim, whatever, we have different types in the room, so they would either have in a previous life or now currently follow that halacha and follow the Shulchan Aruch. What is
the other liquid is actually causing the change?
That's going to be a discussion we'll have soon, hopefully. Meaning, it's not you, it's the other liquid?
Right.
Okay, we'll talk about that soon. The simple understanding...
For sure.
Exactly. The simple understanding of the Shulchan Aruch is that those are equal cases, right? Meaning, both in the case where it's in the sun and it's just melting, and in the case where it's in a juice or a wine or a water or something like that, it's melting on its own. The leniency is because it's happening automatically, not because the juice is doing it. However, that will be critical in a second. Because if you look in source number four, you have in Shin Yud Ches Tes Zayin, the Haggah, that means the start of the Ramah. The Ramah is the source of Ashkenazi, Piskei Halacha. So what does the Ramah say? So the Shulchan Aruch here is talking about a case of, and I believe this is last time I talked, not this particular Halacha, but this Sif in Shulchan Aruch, about we were talking about Hilchos Bishul back then, but someone in the crowd told me this is still a current food. Empanada.
Yeah.
Sounds like the type of food they would have at Lenny's, not like Jeff's. Okay. So empanadas. So if you have an empanada, what is an empanada? Dough with something on the inside, correct? So there could be congealed fat or congealed, we like not to think about it that way, congealed meat sauce inside of the empanada, and then you'll put it next to a flame or something, and what'll happen? It'll get a little more moist, juicy, well, crispy on the outside, but moist and juicy on the inside. It'll melt the congealed fat from the inside. Is that permissible on Shabbos? The Shulchan Aruch here assumes that that's permissible. Okay, we're not talking about Bishul right now, so we're not getting too far into that, but the Ramah here says as follows. V'yesh machmirim, there are those who are machmir, there are those who are stringent about this in the bold. V'nohagu lahachmir, the Ashkenazim are machmir about this. Miu b'makom sarach yesh lismoch asvara rishona. So what the Ramah apparently thought over here was that even though Rashi told us, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, that as long as the melting happens automatically, not by your active input, by melting the ice, by melting the fats in this case, whatever it might be, as long as it happens automatically, that's fine. The Ramah says, not so fast. Maybe we have to hold like the Sefer HaTruma, who said, no, the issue is that even if it happens on its own, even if the melting happens on its own, it's still an issue, and you wouldn't be able to, first of all, partake of that food, and second of all, there'd be some sort of iser potentially in you having done that, allowed that to happen, facilitated it happening. If you look in source number 5, the Magen Avraham, in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch from before, says, the Shulchan Aruch says you can let ice, you can let snow melt in the sun, in your drink, etc. But says the Magen Avraham in his commentary, Ulithi Mashakas of the Ramah earlier, Hacha Asr Misham Nolad Elam Keni Mu'urav Amaya. So here the Magen Avraham says, according to what the Ramah told us, no, even if it happens automatically, never mind if you do it with your hands, there everyone says it's a problem, but even if it happens automatically, it's going to be an issue. The Magen Avraham adds, unless what? Those last words? Unless it happens in the water. So what? Who cares if it's in the water? So that's what you were saying before.
There's another agent.
Exactly. So there's really two things over here. One, again, we have a machlokas rishonim over here, what the issue with melting ice is in the first place. Is it actively creating water from ice? Or no, even if it's not active, the fact that ice is created is an issue in and of itself. The Shulchan Aruch says only if you're active is it a problem. The Ramah says, no, even if it melts on its own, it's a problem, which means you can't allow for such a situation to happen. And should it happen, that food is now muktzah, that drink is now muktzah. However, the Magen Avraham says, in the case of ice, which is the best example for us, if you would put it into water, wine, soda, etc., and it would then melt in that cup, oh, now is my cup muktzah? Is my water muktzah? Is my soda muktzah? No, says the Magen Avraham, and the Mishnah Berurah follows suit. Why? Because it was me'urav b'mayim. So what? So the Mishnah Berurah explains there are two positive features to the fact that it was mixed into water, or mixed into whatever liquid it might have been. First of all, you did not do anything actively. Like you pointed out, it's another agent that melted this ice.
Why is the liquid agent different than an oxygen agent?
Than what?
Oxygen. Like just
meaning air. Sitting in the air or whatever.
Because of
the second factor. The first point is that there's no maisa b'yadayim. There's no action on your part, and therefore only half of the Rishonim, or I guess really a third of the Rishonim, would tell you this is the problem in the first place. Correct? And the Ramah says the Mishnah Berurah was a chumrah anyways, it was a stringency anyways. Really, really, we should all agree that unless you're active, it's not a problem. First of all. Second of all, in the case where it's in the liquid, in your cup, in the soda, in the wine, or in the water, whatever it is, there is no, quote, maisa hanikeres. There is no recognizable act or moment of melting. If you let a piece of ice sit on the table and melt, even if you didn't act on the piece of ice, some of the Rishonim would say, but yeah, but it's melting. You're watching it turn from ice to water. Let's say you drop an ice cube into your soda. So you look at one point and it's 6 cubic inches. No. Whatever, you know what I mean. It's a certain size. Then you look 20 minutes later and it's half the size. You look 30 minutes later, it's gone. So it definitely melted. And I guess if you measured the water level, well, no, it wouldn't have changed because that's what the guy in the bathtub figured out. Either way, the point is you would notice a difference that expand. Okay, fine. Yeah, that's not my strong suit, okay? Physics, math, chemistry, all that stuff. I never finished math in high school. There, you don't have this here, Regents? I think they don't have it in New York anymore either. But you didn't have it in Frisch. Even in Frisch, they didn't have Regents because they were too cool for Regents.
Right?
So in Hebrew Academy, Nassau County, where I graduated without a math diploma, there was, right. So there was a math Regents, Math A and Math B. Then it changed again after my high school. But during my high school, it was Math A and Math B. I took Math A in 8th grade because I was in the advanced class. Then I took Math A again in 9th grade. Then I took Math A again in 10th grade and 11th grade. And in 12th grade, my principal told me, like, as long as I don't get in trouble, I don't have to take Math B. So I never got a math diploma. Yeah, somewhere in Los Angeles, someone just took out of my salary for the COLA. But I wouldn't even notice. I wouldn't even notice. So math is not my thing, but the point is you would look at this ice, it's observable. Yeah, the ice melted. But you didn't see ice melt, you just saw ice disappear. So the mice is not nikar, it's not recognizable, not discernible that the melting has happened, so it's not an issue. The other thing the post can bring up, which is what you said before, Ms. Luftglass, is it's also psik reish lo nichalei. Who here puts ice into their cup of soda wanting it to melt? Nobody. Nobody. It waters down the soda. It's annoying, if anything. It's a psik reisha, meaning it happens automatically. You're not interested in it happening. You're not mechabing to it. You don't have any intent for it. And just the opposite. You wish it wouldn't happen. You don't want the ice to melt because that'll first of all, it's not going to cool your soda down anymore. And second of all, your soda gets more watery. It's very annoying when ice melts in your soda. So it's a psig reish d'lo nichle. So you put it all together, and all the poskim are really makil on putting the ice into water, into wine, into soda on Shabbos. Yeah. I was on my contract said they can't answer questions about alcohol for high school students. That's it. I'm just following the rules. I understand you're asking for a friend over 18 or 21 or whatever, but that would change it. You're right, but we still have the other reason, which is that it's not recognizable. Yeah, yeah, but you usually put in water to do that. Soup, very good, but not to water it down, to cool it down. Watering down is an unwanted effect. Your son doesn't say, your kid doesn't say, oh, it's too salty, put in ice. He says, it's too hot, put in ice. Okay. So some of the postmen say, don't mix it, because what are you doing when you mix it? You're actively melting it. There's room to make on that, but you're actively melting it. So maybe that's a good chumrah. But letting the ice melt shouldn't be an issue.
You're actively melting it by putting it in that.
But can you
have... By placing it? Yeah. That's not an active melting. That's an active... I hear that. That's an act.
Once you're doing that, you know the ice is...
You know it's going to happen. Psik ratio means you know it's going to happen. Psik reisha means you know what's going to happen. Automatic. Psik reisha means, literally, you cut off the chicken's head, you know it's going to die. Psik reisha, but it's lo nichla. You're not interested in that happening. You're interested in cooling down. You're not interested in it melting. Good, good. So that would be a different case. You'd still probably make it because it's not recognizable and you're not doing it actively, but I hear it. But it's different in terms of it wouldn't be a psik reisha lo nichla. Yeah.
Can you have, like, a freezy? Like, you know?
This is going to be the next, like... I don't know what it is. Frozen things. Frozen things. It would be frozen things. Yeah. We could talk about each case when it's going to issue or not. But
what if it's like for a refuah that's not a serious refuah? You take out an ice pack and take it together.
Right.
After all, it's so good. You melted it. It was molten.
That sounds like, again, we have to talk about each case. That sounds like it wouldn't be a problem for all the reasons above. It happened automatically and it happened in a non-discernible way. You didn't, again, you don't want it to melt. You want to use it to heal or to cool down or to stop swelling. You know what I'm saying? In all those cases, you don't want the ice to melt. But the ice melting is an obvious side effect that's going to happen. So the post gemara make on, yeah, the post gemara make on that, yeah. Yeah, you're right, that's a little harder to be make on, but the post gemara are often make on it.
Different if it's on something than when it's by itself, because when it's by itself,
you're still
making
it
by itself. Right, but I'm saying that could answer a lot of these questions. If it's by itself,
yeah, then
it's just making its own cup of water.
Yes, except that in Allison's case, nobody wants the water in the ice bucket either. You spill it out afterwards. If you're really planning to drink that, that could be a bigger issue, but you don't really expect anyone that's thinking that way. Let's try to pivot to making ice cubes. So now that you understand the breaking down, the melting of the ice, so does that help us get to anything for better or for worse, in terms of making ice? So according to Rashi, is there an issue of turning water into ice, would you guess?
Sure.
Same thing, right? Literally the exact same thing. No, if it's usser, and you want it, you're turning into ice. Right. It's usser to create water from ice.
And it's not...
So why wouldn't the... Right, so why wouldn't... Exactly. So why... Right, it's what you're doing. So why wouldn't the flip case also be usser molid? You're creating, you're making ice out of water. Why wouldn't that be an issue? So some of the poskim do say that Rabban Cutler, Rav Schefter actually quotes this. Interesting that this would be my source for it. Rav Schefter in his book about Rav Soloveitchik quotes that Rabban Cutler said that it's usher to make ice on Shabbos because of that reason. And most famously, the Dovev Misharim, which is a very famous work of response, the Tshuva Sefer from the Chabina Rav. The Chabina Rav was Rav Dov Berish Wiedenfeld, a very, very important posek and Chassidish Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael post-war. He went through the war. He was in Siberia. And then he was an Eretz Yisrael, very, very important character. So he also was famously machmir on this because it's molid and dovim yisharim simin nun hey. That's famous. The Rav of Soloveitchik had a different reason to be machmir, to be stringent about making ice. What else might it be?
Bona.
So that is very, very fascinating. The Rav of Soloveitchik thought that maybe it was bona. Why would it be bona? So if you look in source number 6, you'll find a different malachan, a different, I should say, act entirely, which is that of making cheese. How does one make cheese? So basically you take milk and whatever you mix in whey and you do a churning process and all that, and you basically turn the liquid into the solid of cheese. And the Gemara says, what's that? Is that usher on Shabbos? Yeah, megavin is shagug b'Shabbos. If you did it accidentally on Shabbos, you're chai v'chatas. You have to bring karban chatas for having done a malacha, you know, accidentally on Shabbos. Okay. Why is someone prohibited from making cheese on Shabbos out of milk? Solid, liquid to solid, from milk to cheese. So the Gemara says, "Megabe chayev mishum bona." the infringement, the violation of making cheese on Shabbos out of milk is the issue of bona. You're building. You're taking something that was liquid and you're condensing it in such a way and putting it together and, you know, the way that the Posen talk about it, almost gluing together different pieces in order to build something that's a chunk, that's a whole, that's a solid. That's an issue of bona, binyan, on Shabbos. Now, that is what the Rav said. Rav Soloveitchik said that others say this as well, and they suggest this too. But there are two reasons to argue on this. Rav Avadya Yosef in his Tshuva Sicha V'Das, Chelek Aleph Simin Lamed, he has both of these arguments, and other posts can do as well. I have here a sefer called Oros HaShabbos, which is meaningful to me. It's by Rav Shlomo Warman. Anyone here ever hear of Shlomo Warman with a Queens connection? Rav Shlomo Warman was, get this, the Rosh Yeshiva of Hank. Hank is the high school that I graduated from without a math diploma. And Rav Shlomo Warman has a nice essay on making ice on Shabbos. He's a prolific author, really brilliant person. He wrote really prolifically, just tons and tons of svarim, tons and tons of essays. So clear, such lucid writing, easy Hebrew, really a fantastic Talmud Chacham. He lived in Queens, he's the Rosh Yeshiva in Hank, whatever that means, before my time. I believe that I saw him once. I believe that in 11th grade they brought him in for Yom HaShoah. But my the Sgan Rosh Kol Nicole is my graduating class in Hank. We went to high school together. Fun fact. So he doesn't remember it. And he has a perfect memory, literally. So I'm probably wrong, but I seem to remember him standing in front. It's possible that he missed that day. I seem to remember him standing in front for Yom HaShoah. He also wrote a book. I forgot what it was called. Something about the town in Europe that he fled from when during Nazi Germany. I have the book at home. Something about Leipzig. That's where he grew up. So he was, Rav Shlomo Warman was a big genius and a tremendously clear writer. So he says two arguments, the same that Rav Avadya Yosef has, which is, first of all, you're not doing it actively here, right? If you make cheese, what do? You take the milk, you mix, you churn, you mesh it together, and you turn it into cheese actively. When you make ice, you take water, you place it in the fridge. That's your only action. Then you leave it there, and overnight, 10 hours, 12 hours, 5 hours, I don't know how long it takes, it turns into ice. So it's not active. You're not allowed to do things passively on Shabbos. That's called grama. You're causing something to happen, but it downgrades it at least a little bit. Secondly, this is the most important point that he and Rav Avadya and others say as well. It's not shel kayama. It's a binyan l'sha'a, meaning that it's a very temporary act of building. Yeah, you might have built water into ice, but how long is it going to last already? It melts within a couple of minutes. So since it's not really such a permanent fix, not really such a permanent build, that's not an issue of bona. That's a major discussion.
Do you have to be consistent? Like, if you're someone that's not okay with Lego on Shabbos,
No. That may not be inconsistent. Yeah, no. You have to be consistent about whether binyan l'sha'a is permissible or forbidden. You can distinguish between cases whether something is considered l'sha'a or long-lasting, depending on the instance. Ice might melt faster or always be in a state of melting and therefore be very, very flimsy, as opposed to Lego, which might be much more firm. Or you could say, Lego, it doesn't last a second, depending on who's around it and how it's built. So you would have to distinguish between what's considered l'sha'a and what's not considered l'sha'a. But you have to be consistent about whether bona is asa or not. Yeah, it's a machlokas bavli and Yerushalmi. We can't get into it now. But the major discussion in history, this is a major historical discussion, also very important, almost political, about umbrellas on Shabbos. It's bona. You're building an ohel, a tent, but it's temporary bona. You open, you close, you open, you close. So it's not an issue. It's a Chassam Sofer and another Behuda argued about this. It was very critical in their point in time because the reform movement was pushing that umbrellas should be permissible. Why? Whatever.
They both agree it's not.
No, they argue about whether it's strictly speaking permissible or not. Because of this issue, whether it's an issue of bona l'sha'a or not. There might be other issues as well. The Chazon Ish says no matter what you hold, it's usher because the reform movement was trying to use it as a breach. But that's why it's political. But I'm saying the bona part is the interesting part in terms of what we're talking about. That they argue about, if it's bona or not. Again, that would be a shir unto itself. It would be an interesting shir as well, I think, depending on who gives it. So Rav Avadya Yosef, Rav Shlomo Warman, all of them make this point. It's not really bona. It's not really a binyan. Come on, it's temporary. It's not really going to be anything. And the truth is, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Dayan Simcha Zelig Rieger from Brisk, the Brisker Dayan, Rav Blazer Silver was the Rav in Cincinnati. That's how he said it. That's how Rav Shachley says he said it. I never met him. But he was the Rav in Cincinnati. So he was Rav Shlomo Warman's Rebbe. So he was always quoting Rav Blazer Silver. So he says also he was making a lenient on this because, come on, how long does it last already? It's in a process of melting all the time. Others say also it's not even a, it never is a significant change. Meaning you make ice to do what with it?
Melting.
How?
To put in your drink.
Yeah, to put in your drink, which means it's going to melt. So never mind that it's always melting and therefore it's very flimsy. The whole goal of making ice is that it should turn into water again anyways. Not that you intend it to be water, but the point is you never intend for it to last. So the whole thing is questionable whether it should really be an issue. And therefore many, many poskim are makel on making ice on Shabbos. Personally, in my family, we try not to freeze things on Shabbos. That's because the Rav was a machmer on that. I didn't know the Rav, but I did name one of my children after him, so I feel like the least I could do is be machmer about making ice on Shabbos. Freezing anything on Shabbos would be the same thing. But that being said, Rav Adi Yosef, you know, Shlomo Orman has this, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Diane Rieger, everyone has coolers about this, and I do think that's well accepted for people to freeze things on Shabbos, again, whether it's ice or ice pops or people like to make frozen orange juice, I don't know, whatever it might be. Same thing. The only issue that we have to talk about is what?
The planning practice.
Exactly. What we had earlier.
No, but that's planning. But let's say that's what it's
like. In terms of freezing, it should be the same. It should be the same thing. So, oh, good. So let's spend the last few seconds talking about that. So Warman ends this essay by saying that Reb Lazer Silver said it's mutter to freeze things on Shabbos. That being said, a person has to be careful that if they're going to freeze something on Shabbos, they have to make sure they're freezing it on Shabbos for Shabbos, right? But the second the person, and I'll read it to you, Vehidgish, Reb Lazer Silver emphasized, Vehidgish, she'asur lahachnes zamayim l'solcha mekar, you can't put the water into the fridge or, you know, the freezer, v'sof hayom, shal yaspek hazman leha'asus lekarach ad l'mosei Shabbos. You can't put it in at the last second, a buzzer beater before the end of Shabbos, where it's going to become ice after Shabbos, v'chi agavin, in that case, harimechen mishabbos l'chol, what are you doing? You're preparing, hachana. You're preparing for after Shabbos. You're not making ice for Shabbos, now you're making ice for after Shabbos. You're not allowed to do things on Shabbos for after Shabbos. So is that an issue or is that a non-issue? So let's just agree in one case. If you are making ice on Shabbos for after Shabbos, you hear why that's an issue, correct? But what if you're freezing your soup, freezing the meatballs, freezing, I don't know, the ices, whatever that was melting, not because it's for after Shabbos, because what? You want to preserve it. You want to preserve it. Either clean up, that's one issue, or just to preserve it and not lose it and not let it melt and never be usable again to get ruined over the course of Shabbos. So you want to put it back in the freezer. Is that permissible? So that Rav Adi Yosef writes at the end of that same tshuva that would be permissible in such a case. Why? Because hachana means when you prepare something on Shabbos for after Shabbos in order that you shouldn't have to do it after Shabbos, to save time for after Shabbos. But if you do something on Shabbos for after Shabbos, not to save time post-Shabbos, but really just to preserve that thing on Shabbos, you don't put the ketchup into the fridge after the meal because you're trying to not have to waste your time doing it on Matzah Shabbos. You're doing it because you don't want to spoil and you don't want your table to be dirty. When you, again, you could think of a few other examples, but we don't have to go into all of them. Point is, that's not hachana, that's not preparation. Preparation is when you do something for after Shabbos. But if you do it for Shabbos, it just happens to be that it won't take effect until after Shabbos. That should not be, strictly speaking, an issue of hachana. And therefore, making ice, you know you're having a big party tomorrow. You're having over a lot of guests. You forgot to make ice. It's the first thing after Shabbos. So Shabbos morning, you wake up and say, I'll do in the afternoon some ice trays, and I'll put them in the fridge freezer for after Shabbos. Is that okay? No, that's hachana. But let's say you're not doing, you're just returning the soup to the freezer because that's where you store it. Or you're returning the ices, the ice cream tub, whatever, to the freezer so it doesn't melt, so it doesn't get ruined. That's not preparation for after Shabbos. That's preserving it on Shabbos, even though the actual freezing might take place after Shabbos, would not be an issue of hachana. So, as we began with, im ma'aminim she'afshar lekalkel, az tamin she'afshar lesakein. If a person believes that you could break something down, you could also build it back up. You could also do tshuva. You could also fix it. So if it's permissible in any way, shape, or form to make water out of ice to melt something down, then it stands to reason that going in the opposite direction should be good as well. We saw from the Gemara that it's usser to melt ice, but there are many situations in which that's permissible. The reasons why it's usser and the reasons why it's permissible contribute to the reasons why most of the poskim say it's permissible on the flip side also, either because it's not actually an act of creating, or even if it is, it's a very flimsy creation anyways as it is. And therefore, many of the poskim are makel. We spoke about the issue of hachana as well, but I think the accepted practice is to be makel on freezing things on Shabbos often. Yeah.
What about taking ice and putting in your mouth? Or you're drinking your drink and you get like a...
Would sound no worse. Right, that would sound no worse than... I think that's eating, not melting.
It's eating.
Yeah, I would think that's eating, not melting. Right. The Rishonim have Lashonis about... what about when you chew food? Isn't that tochein? Isn't that grinding? That's eating. It's not grinding.
If you're the type of person that like every time you take out your ice cube tray, you fill it up and you put it back. It's just like an automatic thing. I know that kind of applies to hachana in general.
Right. I don't know. I'm not sure about that. Meaning, and the tray is totally empty. Now you're going to fill it up, and you know you're not going to have ice left after Shabbos. It's not for that. It's to, I don't know. That sounds worse in this case. Even though you're saying it's routine, it's not intentional, but it is what you're doing today. It is defined by that. I don't know. It doesn't feel right to me. Okay. Thank you all very much. We'll be.